Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the National MS Society's 21st Century Approach to Job Searching teleconference. Your host for today, Steve Nissen, will now begin.
Thank you very much, Chase. Good evening, everybody. As Chase mentioned, my name is Steve Nissen, and I am the Senior Director of Employment Programs with the National Capital Chapter of the National MS Society in Washington. And I do want to welcome everybody to the first call in our 2012 Employment Teleconference Series. The New York City Southern New York chapter would like to thank the Peter J. Sharp Foundation for their sponsorship of tonight's program. Joining me as your host on the call this evening is Barbara McKeon, who's the Director of Employment Programs and Services at the New York City Southern New York chapter, and Christina Forrester, who is the Employment Services Manager for the Greater Delaware Valley chapter. I'm very excited about this evening's call, and I think it's a great way to kick off this series because we know that the way that we conduct a job search has changed drastically over the past few years. So much of job searching nowadays is done online. I know that we get asked all the time which job board websites are the best ones to use, and it can be very, very overwhelming to search for jobs. Because there are so many websites out there. Job searching nowadays also is relying more and more heavily on using social media websites like LinkedIn. So our two featured speakers for tonight's call are prepared to address these modern ways of searching for jobs. Once our speakers have completed their formal presentations, there will be time for your questions. If you do have questions, please feel free to jot them down during the call so you're prepared to ask them during our Q&A period. Be sure to ask your question completely, as the operator will be muting your line once your question is posed. This will then allow us to get to as many questions as possible. For those of you that are following along on the webinar, you can also submit questions using the chat function. If you do use that function, please be sure only to send your question to the host, and then what I will do is then pose those questions to our speakers only if time permits. We will do our best to get to all of the questions, but if time does run out, Barbara, Christina, and I will all give you our contact information so you can run your questions by us, and we will do our best to get you the answer. At the conclusion of tonight's program, we will be polling the audience in an effort to evaluate tonight's program. It's a short survey. It's only 6 questions. So please, if possible, stay on the line until the conclusion of the program. The operator will then pose those questions. We are always interested in getting your feedback. So to share a little bit about our two speakers tonight, and I'm going to turn it over to them, our speakers for tonight's call are Lori Daly and Hillary Benoit. Lori Daly has more than 20 years of experience as a recruiter, business developer, and client manager. She has held executive-level positions in information technology firms working primarily in the federal arena. Currently, she is with Northrop Grumman and specializes in university relations and recruiting, and is the Information Systems Community Outreach Chair for VOICE. VOICE stands for Victory Over Impairment and Challenge Enterprise, which is an employee resource group that focuses on employees with disabilities. Lori is in the unique position of working with job seekers both as a recruiter and as a hiring manager, and is pleased to share her experience with us today. Our second speaker that you'll hear from, Hillary Benoit, has more than 20 years' experience in the information technology field, including internet applications with a focus on usability and accessibility design issues. She is the co-author of a book entitled Click and Easy Guide to Online Web Design, and has presented papers and workshops on systems design and management topics at national and at also international conferences. She has designed and developed intranet and internet application and interfaces to support business recruiting processes. So these speakers have amazing experience, and it's my pleasure, Lori, to turn the floor over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Steve, and thank you, everyone, for taking the time to join us this evening. I only wish we could be with you in person. So in my past, I sold consulting projects and was responsible for finding the people to work on the projects. In order to do this, I had to set up the recruiting arm and quickly learn how to find the people who had the right skills and attitudes and the best chance of being successful on the job. Now, this was some time ago, pre-internet, pre-job boards, pre-social media, pre-Google. How, you know, did it in the world did I ever do it? Well, the best candidates were the ones that I found from referrals or those I met in networking functions like at church or a social function. So what's changed? I've seen shifts in the last 20 years on how people find jobs and how recruiters find job seekers, but some things stay the same. For example, 65% of jobs still occur through referrals, and 80% of job seekers still use networking to find jobs. But are referrals coming in the same way they did 20 years ago? Are people networking the same way? That's what we're here to discuss tonight. Slide 2, for those of you who aren't on the webinar and are following along via phone. We have about 35, 40 minutes, and then we want to leave time, hopefully, for enough questions and answers. So what we're going to do is touch on key areas, including laying the foundation, preparing yourself for your job search, doing targeted research. 90% of job finding process is research, review of the major job search engines and links to employment sites, and networking and social media. Networking is as important today as it was 30 years ago. And we've included a very thorough appendix that has a wealth of websites, social media, web links, security tips, tutorials, and links to home-based jobs, which, by the way, is a topic that's going to be covered in an upcoming webinar in this series. Slide 3, laying the foundation. We have essentially a worldwide library at our beck and call, and with so much information, where do you start? What are the right questions to ask? It can be quite overwhelming and then discouraging until it gets to the point of, I'll take anything, just find me a job. I've seen people search for jobs on the internet, send their resumes out everywhere and anywhere, just hoping something will stick. There's tens of thousands of sites on the internet, so that before you go seeking and searching, that's exactly the time where you need to stop and take some time to do a self-inventory, to prepare and think about what you've been doing, if you're currently searching for a new job, if you want to continue to do the same thing, or if you want to transition to a new area. Use the sites that I've listed, and there's many sites like this, but again, I'm trying to list some of the top sites as a tool to help you think about a description of the work you'd like to do, not just a title. So for example, account rep, that's a title, but I like sales, and sales tied to recruiting is a job description. Identify your transferable skills, the skills that aren't confined to any single field or, again, a specific job title. For example, I'm good at details and organization. That's a transferable skill. Prioritize your job skills so that you're not only identifying the ones that are transferable, but the transferable skills that you enjoy using the most. And take the time to think about the industries you would like to work in. Focus your research on them, and I'll be showing you some websites to research industries in an upcoming slide. So effective job hunting method is to identify those firms doing the kind of work you're good at and like, that's very important, and like, and then see if they need someone like you. That has a success rate of about 69%, and that success rate goes up when you combine that by using social media. So slide 4, targeted research. After you know the names of the companies you'd like to look into, that's the time to research and find out all you can. When you do your research, look for the names of people that are potential hiring managers. Look at some of the problems they need to solve and where your skills can come into play. Knowing all you can about a company for your interview is key. And by the way, since hiring is a two-way street, it also gives you the opportunity to research from the standpoint of whether or not you would really like to work there. Are their goals what you're looking for? Is the culture something that will fit? Do they allow telecommuting? I mean, the list goes on and on. And that's quite a bit of information that can be attained on the internet, and these sites can help you do that. So let's look at a couple of screenshots. Oh, there is one note I want to make about this slide. There's two duplicate bullets, libguides.rutgers.edu. That duplicate happened to make its way in there. And actually, I heard from the librarian at Rutgers, and we talked about it. She said the more directed site is libguides.rutgers.edu/companies, which is just a great way for finding people in the business itself, links to industry-specific directories. So, you know, please make that change. Again, it's libguides.rutgers.edu/companies. So back to the webinar, slide 5. Glassdoor, one of the web links that I just provided on the previous slide, has anonymous ratings from former employees, information about salaries, and opinions about the company culture. This is very useful if you can't find a contact at the company through other networking activities. Slide 6. This is a screenshot of BLS.gov, and it's a publication from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is part of the Department of Labor. It's a career guide for finding out about specific industries or topics. Slide 7. So when you have your basic research complete about yourself and where you may want to target, you know, which companies, which industries, then it's the time to take advantage of the next level of online research and use search engines. Now, again, there's many, many search engines out there. I picked some of the top ones so that you just limit yourself to a few. Slide 8. Two of them, Indeed and Simply Hired. I like both of these quite a bit. These sites include information from a number of sources, from websites, company career pages, job boards. Any job search can be saved as an email alert, so new jobs are delivered daily to an email address that you provide, a personal email address, not a work email address. And you can search for job trends and salaries, read and participate in discussion forums, and again, research companies. Slide 9. This is an expanded screen for doing a more advanced job search on Indeed.com to help you narrow down the results that you receive. Slide 10. Simply Hired. As with LinkedIn, Simply Hired database has information from a number of sources, including job boards, company career sites. And what's good about Simply Hired is it's meshed in with LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a prominent business networking site that Hillary is going to review when she discusses social media. And when a job pops up at a certain company, you can find out if your LinkedIn network includes anyone at that company. Slide 11. Google, you know, Google everything. We all know about Google. I think it's fair to say that everyone has heard of Google. But let Google track employers and opportunities for you. Develop a list of potential employers where you'd like to work and sign up for a free Google Alerts. It's google.com/alerts for jobs posted in the organization's website. Have the alerts sent to your personal, again, your personal, not your work, email address. And if you're interested in more than one employer, you can string together more than one company in the search field. The appendix does include an internet primer on how to do Boolean searches and advanced search techniques for you to try when you want to narrow down your search, especially when you're using a broad search engine like Google. And you could do the same. You could do Google Alerts for industries, people. You could do it for yourself and have the alerts sent to you on a regular basis. And it's good to keep track of what's coming up about you on the internet so that you can manage your online reputation, because what has shifted today is that recruiters will Google you. Slide 12. Here are examples of disability-related websites to find jobs and also to gain insight into disability-related issues in employment. Now, there were so many sites out there that I looked at what I thought were some top ones, and as you can see, there's still quite a few. So I put them in two columns for you to keep as a quick reference. And, of course, if you ever wanted to find out more, all you have to do is type in Google disabilities employment. Slide 13. Disabilityjobs.net is one that is like Indeed.com in that you can browse for jobs by employer, state, or a specific keyword. It's associated with diversityjobs.com, which is one user choice awards for extending to a wider minority audience. So it's a niche search engine. And slide 14. This is an example of what happens when you don't narrow down your search. If you look in the search field, it's searching for all the jobs in the United States. So clearly, it's a very powerful search engine in that it will pull up everything, but this is a reminder that you don't want to do that. You want to really narrow down your search and look for specific jobs and specific companies. Slide 15. Disability.gov is the federal government website managed by the Department of Labor Office of Employment Policy for comprehensive information on disability programs and services in communities nationwide. It has more than 14,000 resources from federal, state, local government agencies, in academic institutions, nonprofit organizations. And what I like about this is that it's a web portal, which means that every time you select a resource, you will be directed to another website. And depending on the time, this is one site I will pull up at the end and demonstrate. It's really quite useful. Slide 16. Disabled Person Incorporated. It's a 501c3 public charity. Its mission is to reduce unemployment rate amongst individuals and veterans with disabilities. Now, they have two job boards. The job board you're seeing now, www.disabledperson.com, that's for individuals with disabilities in the general population. And then on the next slide, slide 17, that's the job board for job opportunities for disabled American veterans. And again, you can search jobs by category and by state and will be notified when there's an opening. And they also hold virtual job fairs. So notice, though, in the upper right-hand corner, there's a link to Twitter, to Facebook, and to LinkedIn community for disabled person. This is what you're going to see more and more on, that job searching combined with networking in the age of the Internet. So Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, this is the mode for the 21st century, connecting websites to social media and connecting us on a personal basis, even if it's an online-type personal basis. Slide 18, One-Stop Shop. Career One-Stop Shop is also sponsored by the Department of Labor, and it has a huge amount of data on career centers, career changing, retraining, employer research. It's part of an interlinked network of job sites, so it includes just many, many pieces of information that you can maneuver through as you're, as well. It's a one-stop shop as you're going through the site. Slide 19. USA Jobs is the U.S. government's official system program for federal jobs and employment information, and the site has been revamped to include a more up-to-date search mechanism as well as directions for resume preparation. And slide 20, USA.gov, it's a very easy to search, free access website that's designed to give you a centralized place to find information from local, state, federal, government agency websites. And slide 21. Now, this slide these are three very important top job portals or really gateways. They're almost e-books. And they're starting places for organized to give you both an overview of the job hunt as well as specific resources that will help you perform on your own. They have articles about various aspects of the job hunt where you can learn more about the process of job hunting and how to go about it. Jobhunt.org is honestly, I'd say, one of the best that's out there. It has over 16,000 employer-related recruiting pages and associations. It's one that, you know, I've referenced throughout this webinar, and then I look at, you know, on a regular basis. It has quite a bit of up-to-date information. jobhuntersbible.com. It's actually a companion guide to What Color Is My Parachute? And the RileyGuide.com has a lot of business and employer research information. So if you had to go, again, to just one place to help you maneuver around, I would stick with this slide. Slide 22. So this is a screenshot that is from jobhunt.org's Directory of Professional and Industry Associations. Local and national organizations, associations, and societies are great places to make connections for your next potential referral. So when you go into this, check the appropriate specialized job site category for more career and employment links that are relevant to the particular industry, profession, or group that you're interested in. And slide 23. Here are some sites for us baby boomers, and all of them are worth looking into. So on slide 24, here is a specific screenshot about AARP. And AARP, I think we certainly are all familiar with that to a degree, AARP, they use the services of several online career websites, including GettingHired.com, which is an online careers and community consortium for job seekers with disabilities and employers committed to hiring them. And slide 25, this is a screenshot of the job site for the 40-plus community, a very good website. I wanted to just show you that. And slide 26. Again, there's many, many sites out there, but here's a sampling of niche job sites that are available for just about every career field. Slide 27 is an example of one, Bridgestar, bridgestar.org, and this is a non-profit job site that provides jobs for individuals that are interested in working for nonprofits or obtaining board positions. And on slide 28, this is, again, a very specific website for engineering where you can search on engineering categories and then search on jobs within those categories. And that's pretty much how all the niche sites work. You can really get deep within how the various categories within the industries. And slide 29, the joys of networking. why network? Okay. And when you've done your research, okay, you've identified what your strengths are, what you like to do, and what you want to do, and what industries are out there for you, that's the time to take that information you have and network and find the contacts that will get you the referrals into those companies. So who's in your network? Pretty much everyone you talk to is in your network. We all have many networking opportunities, including colleges and professional associations. And when you do network, one technique is to tell people you're out of work, you lost your job, and to be sure to let you know if they hear of anything, or you may be tempted to say you'll take any job. Be sure to define any or anything. You need to tell people specifically as possible what your skills are and what you're looking for. And this goes back to slide one, laying the foundation, preparing the way, understanding what you want to do and really what you like to do. Remember, you're spending a good portion of your waking life at your job, so it really ought to be something you like to do. And then find and join a job search support group. Be selective. The key is to pick ones that are relevant to your interests. Start with one or two and experiment, and look for groups that are moderated or run by a career professional, someone who understands how the whole process works and has current experience in either successfully finding employment themselves or in helping others to find jobs. Your local chamber of commerce, a library, church, they may host groups, or you can contact, again, your college or a high school to see if their career center can help, and they usually will. And slide 30. Many, many companies, they have alumni associations and job clubs. And again, this is a chance to go back to Job Hunt's really famous directory of networking and job support groups by state, where you will be able to find job clubs for networking and for job hunting in general. There's networking using social and professional networking sites. Like LinkedIn groups also offer a way to connect with other job seekers. It's usually online, but sometimes offline as well. And one note, when you go into some of these search engines and job sites and they bring you to a link about a particular job, you try as best as possible to find out who the company is offering that job and apply directly online at that company site. This way, you lessen the risk of your resume going into really a black hole. And instead of sending your resume in, you can also use LinkedIn to go to your own on and offline networks to get a different contact directly inside of the company. So networking is making contacts with people. And I think this is a good point to turn it over to Hillary, who's going to show you how to use and network using social media.
Thank you, Laurie. Social media, sometimes known as social networking, this is slide 31, is the use of technology to facilitate human interaction. And whereas a website or a resume are one-way forms of communication, social media enables users to communicate with each other and share information often in real time. And in the 21st century job market, social media and the vast online networks that they support have become a valuable tool for both job seekers and hiring managers, especially those hiring managers with smaller recruiting budgets. And this is because for little or no cost, recruiters are able to broadcast their open positions to an enormous number of job seekers in real time. Social media sites have grown to augment the business networking that Laurie spoke about earlier. And one of the exciting things about social media is that it enables you to brand yourself, that is, to market yourself online as a package of skills, experience, and expertise. And then through building your trusted networks, as a job seeker, you're able to reach out to specific contacts and companies that you're interested in and gain the advantage that is very necessary in today's competitive job marketplace. With the social media tools that we're going to talk about, you're able to present yourself online the way that you want to be seen professionally. And it's therefore extremely important that you take care to be consistent in such areas as online profiles, job summaries, and objectives in order to remain credible. So take the time to build and manage your online reputation. Approximately 50% of hiring managers can determine a good fit for a company by seeing a person's online presence. And in this section, we're going to focus on how three of the most popular and well-known areas of social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, can support your job search. Slide 32. LinkedIn is specifically targeted at professional networking. It's not an entertainment site. It's specifically for professionals. It is generally considered to be the highest leverage job-seeking engine in the world, and it's one of the primary online locations for recruiters to find new talent. There are more than 116 million users worldwide, and more than 80% of hiring managers and recruiters use LinkedIn to research and sometimes to interact with job candidates. And many are able to determine how well a candidate might fit in with their organization just by viewing their online presence. So as a job seeker, using LinkedIn, you can build your network of connections, which can then be used to gain introductions, find jobs, business opportunities, search for potential candidates if you're a hiring manager, and target companies. Linking to established groups in LinkedIn also enables you to quickly expand your network to include specific areas of professional interest. And there are literally thousands of groups available, so you can target specific industries areas of your job search. So employers are listing jobs, job seekers can review the jobs and the profiles of the hiring managers. Slide 33. This is a LinkedIn screenshot. And the LinkedIn homepage encourages you to interact with others in your network, your connections, or people who may be associated to you via other connections groups or companies. And it's working a little bit behind the scenes like an assistant So when you log on, you'll probably find lists of people that it thinks you might know that you might find useful to connect to. It will find lists of jobs that it's come up with for you in your specific area by looking at your profile and picking out perhaps certain keywords. And you're able to share comments, ask questions, answer questions, and this is a very good way of building your reputation as an expert. Slide 34, LinkedIn getting started. One of the best tools you have in social media is your LinkedIn profile. This is your first impression. By establishing the best possible profile, you're making LinkedIn work for you 24 hours a day, and it's rather like having your assistant working for you behind the scenes. 80% of hiring managers, remember, are using LinkedIn, so make sure that your profile is 100% complete. Statistics show, unfortunately, that fewer than 10% of professionals ever bother to get their profiles corrected or 100% complete. So just by doing this one step, you can differentiate yourself from everybody else. And in addition, Google will pick you up from LinkedIn and bring you up usually on the first page of their search results. So this is a really great thing. Recruiters are basically looking at three key areas of your profile during the first few seconds of viewing: your professional photo, your professional headline, and your professional summary. These are the big three. Now, the photo is important. Many hiring managers won't seriously consider someone who doesn't have one. Dress appropriately for the type of position that you're looking for. For example, a suit for more formal industries is still recommended. Use a blue or green background if possible, and try not to crop your head from a vacation snap, since this rarely provides the best image, even though this is often very tempting. The next step is to write your professional headline. Now, this is not your job title, although a lot of people actually use it as a job title, but it should define who you are and what you can do for an organization. This appears just below your name as well as on every communication you send in to LinkedIn. The summary section of your profile is your chance to make an impression. Now, some tips here. Remember to keep it short. Between 5 and 10 lines on the screen is preferable, or 3 to 5 sentences so that when you read them aloud, they don't take more than 30 seconds. Make it concise. Don't use bulleted lists, but tell people quickly about yourself. Try to make it unique. Avoid buzzwords, jargon, and cliches, and make it narrative. You can use first-person pronouns rather than referring to yourself in the third person. So, for example, say things like, "I have experience," "My goals are." Make it very personal. The profile is the first place you can really start working on your brand. Slide 35. After you've completed those first three items, you should work on completing your profile. Recommendations are like references. They add to your credibility. You can invite people through LinkedIn to write you a recommendation, people such as your ex-boss, your colleague, professional experts, college tutors, and so on. And you don't have to accept the recommendation if you don't like it. LinkedIn gives you the ability to review it first. And you don't have to return the favor unless asked to. So if someone writes you a recommendation, you don't have to feel that you have to write them a recommendation back. And in fact, it's not even considered a good thing to do this, because if you've got the same number of recommendations as you're providing, it doesn't look realistic. LinkedIn's search algorithm ranks profiles with recommendations higher than others, and at least 3 is considered the norm for a complete profile. Now remember, only about 50% of the people you request recommendations from will actually respond, so request more than you expect. And then to further up your possibilities of being pulled up in a search, 6 recommendations is even better. And I would recommend having maybe a couple per job or position or per project if you're at college still. And then to further complete your profile, go through and fill out the summary, specialties, skills, and make sure you use keywords in the various areas of your profile in order to ensure ratings high up in the searches. Slide 36, expanding your network. Now, since LinkedIn is a professional network rather than a purely social one, it's a good idea to be careful when you build your list of connections. Make sure you know the people and trust them. Your LinkedIn network should be of mutual benefit with regard to your professional life. to begin with, about 50 connections is optimal. Some sources recommend about 140 in order to acquire more second and third degree connections. These are the connections through other people's networks. And obviously, the more direct connections you have, the more second and third degree connections you'll have, which is important when job hunting. If you have, for example, 30 direct connections, that could actually take you to 1 million third level. So again, you don't need an awful lot in order to expand your network and have lots of second and third level connections. Joining groups is a good way of increasing your network size, and groups can be either open, which means anybody can join, or closed, in which case you request to join. Closed groups are usually because they're waiting for you to pay your annual dues, or they're just checking to make sure that you really are a member of that particular organization. So sometimes it can take a couple of days for them to accept you into the group. And groups targeted to specific areas of interest can be extremely useful in your job search because they may post job openings in that field. Slide 37. Now, it can be challenging to find the groups that represent the greatest job opportunities. You can search under groups from the toolbar at the top of your LinkedIn screen, look for specific groups as well as specific companies that you're interested in. And the groups listed here are groups with large numbers of members. LinkedHR alone has more than 500,000 members, so this is an excellent group to join when you're looking at jobs. Slide 38. You can search using keywords to narrow the results to specific types of industries. And each group listed, as you can see from this screenshot, has a brief description and then a button over on the right-hand side that enables you to join it. And if you look at the bottom left-hand corner, you can even create your own group. On slide 39, we have a list of very useful groups that can provide the job seekers with large numbers of job opportunities. I'm not going to go through all of these, but I recommend that after the webinar, you might want to pick up a couple and just take a look. Slide 40, there's a certain etiquette when contacting hiring managers on LinkedIn. You generally don't want to invite a hiring manager to connect with you as your first communication. Try to arrange an introduction from a mutual contact first and then request a meeting in person or by phone. It's best to contact the hiring manager through an introduction, and the LinkedIn introduction has two parts: the note to the person you are targeting, which is the hiring manager, and then a note to one of your contacts whom you're hoping will introduce you to that person. And in the slide, we've given some sample text that you might want to use. And just a note, when you're looking at composing the note to the hiring manager, because they're very busy people, you want to get to the point. Show how you found them, show your value, establish your credibility. Laurie mentioned this earlier before. This is when you do research on yourself. Show how you can solve their problems, reach their goals, and then you may follow up with an invitation to view your online resume or a blog or a website, or perhaps to follow up with a meeting or a phone call. Slide 41, Twitter. Once a purely social and rather trivial medium, Twitter is now one of the highest leveraged job posting and job searching platforms available. Recruiters are posting job openings on Twitter, and there's more than a million job postings each month. So if you're not using Twitter, you're losing out. It's free, it's quick, it's immediate for recruiters, and they can put their jobs out there faster than anybody could post them to a website. Twitter is very useful for creating instant relationships with target organizations, which you do by following them. You can discover the personality and culture of the organization you're interested in by reading through the tweets that are coming out of that organization. And you can monitor job opportunities posted on Twitter. So how do we get started? Slide 42. Go off to www.twitter.com if you haven't already done this, and you need to set up your profile, which is three main areas. Your name and username. Your name is your name, and then you have a handle which then gets attached to everything you tweet. I would recommend, because we're doing this for job searching, don't be too cryptic or coy with your handle. You want people to know who you are. That's the whole point. You're going to have a bio. It's 160 characters. This is your job pitch. This is how you're going to promote yourself, so you need to really kind of reduce this to the bare minimum. And then your photo should be the same as the one on LinkedIn. Remember, you're trying to establish your branding online and the social media. You want to be consistent. Make your Twitter presence employer-friendly. You want to tweet about your job search and use your tweets to build your personal brand at least 40% of the time. Slide 43. How do you use Twitter in your job search? We're going to monitor job opportunities posted on Twitter just as you would on a real-time job board. You're going to perform searches for words. You can use keywords, jobs, careers, employment to pull up tweets. You refine your search just as you do with any other kind of searching, with by city or by executive search. You can look for companies and organizations that you want to work with and follow. And you can find specific people at companies. And you can also include a link to an online CV or resume in your bio so that when people go there, they can click on the link and pull up your resume. And basically establish yourself as an expert in your field on Twitter by sending out regular tweets on something interesting in your job arena. On slide 44, just some general Twitter job hunting tips. Be careful of what you tweet. Everything either adds to or takes away from your online persona. Always appear professional. Demonstrate expertise. And remember that potential employers are reading your tweets. So, again, I can't emphasize this enough. Use your tweets to build your personal brand at least 40% of the time. On 45, Twitter, searching for jobs. This is a screenshot showing some search results that have been put in for the keyword jobs. You notice that with Twitter, the keywords are preceded by the hash sign. And you can also subscribe to a Twitter job channel, which might be a feed specific to your industry, your location, or both. On slide 46, Facebook. People are finding jobs through Facebook, and although Facebook is a social networking site originally intended for college students, it has expanded into a huge global network. Facebook currently has more users than the United States has citizens, so it's literally the size of a large country. And the trick, as always, is to ensure that you can still have fun on Facebook, but at the same time not jeopardizing your potential or current employment. Many hiring managers today are using Facebook to check out job applicants to see if there are inconsistencies with resumes or profiles, and also to see that you're a good fit for their company. So this is another reason to keep consistent so that you don't appear schizophrenic, you know, different person on LinkedIn from the one on Facebook. And although most hiring managers won't actually use Facebook to contact you directly or to maintain a dialogue, their Facebook check may be an item on their due diligence checklist when they're actually checking out potential applicants. So make sure your Facebook persona is consistent with LinkedIn and Twitter, because this will add to your credibility in the job market. Be very careful of what you post to the wall. Remember, inappropriate comment and photos can be damaging to your job hunt. People can forward your information. They can tag your photos and so on. So be careful. On slide 47, we talk about Facebook job apps. Facebook wasn't actually designed for professional networking, so it can sometimes be difficult to job search. And the way that you do this is you can look at different apps to connect to your Facebook account in order to provide additional functionality with your job searching. And in order to connect to the apps, what you do is you visit the website, and then they will follow the instructions to connect to your Facebook account. I'm not going to go through all of these, although I've pulled out some salient points. But, for example, Branch Out enables you to have LinkedIn functionality to your Facebook account. And this is very useful because then you don't have to redo your resume, your profiles, and it also makes introductions to network connections much easier. Slide 48. I'd just like to briefly mention blogs because they are a great way to establish subject matter expertise and credibility. It's all part of your personal branding, and it allows you to write short statements or paragraphs or pages, depending on how prolific you are, on topics that interest you. So you want to choose a niche topic that you know quite a lot about and tie that theme to your personal brand. So if you're going after a job in a particular industry, maybe you have some information that you can share with other people. You can also get spots as guest bloggers on someone else's site, maybe a site that's picked up by a lot of people. Obviously, you want to make it look attractive, and there's all kinds of websites and templates out there that will walk you through the process. And make sure that if you have a blog, you add a link from your LinkedIn and Facebook again so that everything is nice and connected. Slide 49, protecting your personal information. It is important to protect your personal information when you're searching for information on the web and using social network sites. Obviously, the more visible you are, the greater the risk of the wrong person getting hold of your information. And when you share your personal information online, the risks are great. So to safeguard your data, be clear about why you are social networking. Build your personal profiles, as we've mentioned before, whether on Facebook or LinkedIn, very carefully and thoughtfully. Be very selective about who can see your data. Keep in mind that you are advertising yourself, your abilities, skills, and goals. And if you're networking for career building or job hunting, be professional at all times. The beauty of social media is that you're not just pushing out a resume to targeted places. You're establishing yourself in cyberspace so that people will come to you because they like the look of what they see and they like the look of the social, the subject matter expertise and your experience and so on. Some just general common sense things, obviously put security software on your PC and your mobile device. Password protect your Wi-Fi networks, turn on your secure browsing on Facebook, put a remote lock on your mobile phone, turn off your GPS on your phone and pictures if you don't want strangers knowing your location. And generally speaking, you have to be aware that the larger your network, the more you have to think carefully about the information that you're sharing. And on the next slide, slide 50, there's just some very specific things and tips. Twitter, you can go off to the account and notification settings to set up your privacy settings. You can do everybody or protect my tweets. Remember that even if you protect, approved followers can still retweet your information to everyone. So again, be careful what you put in your tweets. Don't show photos and videos from everybody. Don't let people find you from your email address. On Facebook, friends only is a good setting to start with. You want to be selective. In LinkedIn, be selective about accepting invitations to connect to people. It's not like Facebook where you're really trying to get after the largest number of people that you're connected to. Again, it's about mutual professional benefit. Make sure you know these people and that they can actually be of value to you. And common sense, all of them, never share your personal information, date of birth, social security number, mother's maiden name, and so on. Things that people forget sometimes, they talk about going away on vacation, leaving the house. All kinds of people are monitoring the web and social media, so we just want to make sure that you job seek safely without damaging your data. And with that, I'm going to pass you back to Laurie.
And actually, this is Steve, if I could just... chime in here. Laurie, I think that the rest of the slides are the appendix. So in the interest of time, do you think that we could take some question and answers now?
Yes, absolutely. That's all I was going to say, that it is the appendix. And if we can't get to all the questions tonight, to definitely send them in, and we'll make sure that we get back in touch with you.
Great. So, Chase, if you could let our participants know about ways to pose a question.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the number 1 key on your phone. Again, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the number 1 key on your phone. Please hold while questions come into queue. Our first question is from Lily. Please go ahead.
Yes, I would like to know, what about work at home, jobs, and also not being a good typist and having a mess, no excuse. I would like to know, how can I go about obtaining a copy of the slides that were used tonight? Thank you. God bless.
Yes. And I'll just chime in that there's a number of work-at-home slides in the appendix, and that's also the topic of one of the upcoming webinars. And I believe, Steve, if
And your local chapter should have sent you a PDF copy of the slides, but if for some reason they did not, at the end of tonight's call, we'll be giving out our confirmation, our contact information. Feel free to send me an email, and I'd be more than happy to send a copy to you. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chase.
Our next question is from Rosalind. Please go ahead.
My question has been answered by the previous question by the previous person, but thank you anyway.
Could I actually chime in here, Lori and Hillary, and pose a question that was submitted through the webinar? Someone was wondering if you all knew of any job sites or search engines that specialize in part-time jobs. I know that might be putting you all on the spot.
No, it's not.
I just wondered if any of the research that was performed, if you all came across anything like that.
And actually, hold on. I think if you go back to one of the slides that I had, the niche slides, that should be on there. And I, right off the top of my head, I can't remember which one it is, but it's slide actually 23 in this series. And if that's also in the appendix as well under some of the slides. And I'm more than happy to pull out a couple of links and send it to you if possible. And also, by the way, if you go into Google part-time jobs, and you're going to come up with a couple of different sites that will take you specifically to part-time jobs, or you can go into yellowpages.com, which was on one of the first slides I gave you. Okay. So if that helps, and I'd be happy to send you some more that I test out for you if you like. And when you go into Indeed.com, type in part-time.
Great. Thank you. Okay, Chase, is there another call on the phone?
Our next question is from Shelley. Please go ahead. Shelley, your line is live. Go ahead with your question.
Hello. Hi. I was just trying to get a copy of the slides myself, but I heard at the end you'll be providing some information as to who we can contact.
Yes.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Cheryl. Please go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering if this presentation has been recorded. Can I see it again somewhere?
The call is tonight is being taped. In a few weeks, we should be able to post it on your chapter's website. It'll be a downloadable MP3 file, and then the slides will also be attached.
And this is Lori. You know, I think that when you end up going through the slides, because there's an awful lot of information, please again feel free to send in questions after you've thought about it and specific questions, and we're more than happy to get back in touch with you.
Our next question is from Katerini. Please go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering, when you proceed to contact the employer or the HR representative, how often do you think you should contact them about a job? Do you recommend through letters or emails or phone calls? How many times do you recommend we contact them about a specific job?
Well, I'm going to make a couple of assumptions here. It's after you've sent in your resume that, you know, hopefully if you're sending it directly to the company, and you know, maybe even combining that with some LinkedIn job networks, so you make sure you're sending it to the right link and send them. I would contact them after you send in your resume to make sure that they received it, and ask them what their process is, what their time frame is. You know, I have to tell you that that's a question that's alleviated too through social networking, because recruiters, they don't mean to not get back in touch with people, but they are deluged with tons of resumes very often, and that's why it's so important to try and take advantage and learn more about social networking like LinkedIn, so that you can get to specific contacts within a company. But I would contact them a couple of times just to make sure that they did receive your resume.
And this is Hillary. I think every hiring manager is a little bit different. And I know when I've been hiring for a position, I've often received an additional email, you know, maybe a few days later from the person. And I've actually quite appreciated that, and a couple of times that has made a difference when I'm kind of making a short list, because the person seemed friendly and personable and actually took the trouble to come back and check on the position.
Before we take another call from the people that are on the phone, can I put another one that was submitted online towards Hillary, that someone wrote in that they are on LinkedIn and wondered if it was worth joining LinkedIn Premium. Could you, do you know anything about the difference between, I guess, regular LinkedIn and the Premium?
Well, anytime you kind of go to the Premium, it's going to cost money. So it does give some additional functionality, but quite frankly, I haven't found that I've needed it myself. And the majority of people that I know that are on LinkedIn are just on the basic free one. It's quite sufficient. It gives you, every day I go in, I have a list of potential jobs that they think that I might like, even though I'm not looking for one right now. You have all the contacts. So I would say, unless there is something specific that you are interested in and you see on the list for the premium, I wouldn't bother.
Great, thank you. Chase, we maybe have time for one more question, depending on how long the question is. So is there another question that is in queue?
Our next question is from William. Please go ahead.
Hi. I'm a writer, and I have written several articles for United Spinal Association. Currently, I'm doing a piece from Momentum Magazine and MSN Society. I'd like to know, how can I get my name out there and get other places to look at my work?
If I heard correctly, you have articles that you've written for Momentum Magazine, and I don't know if I caught the last part. You would like to know how to get your name out there and market yourself. Is that correct?
When someone wants to publish an article.
If I could just kind of interrupt you, it sounds like that you're looking for work from home opportunities in order to write?
I think he's looking for a website or a place where he can get his articles out there.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely check out the appendix in the slides. Lori did include some work from home websites, and there's, I know the one, Rat Race Rebellion, does have, I believe, from what I recall, like a writing category.
If you don't mind, after this call, I would love to know, after the call, specifically what is the subject matter of the articles, and then, quite frankly, I can help you. Get to a little bit more of a specific site. Mm-hmm. And if you wouldn't mind getting that and helping me get that, Steve, after the call, yep. I'd be more than happy to follow up.
One of the ways to, of course, for anybody to market themselves is you can create a free blog. I mean, Google has a blogger that you can go in. And it's like a little website where you can post your articles and your name. And then once you start doing things like that, you're going to get picked up in searches. So that's a very good way to start. And, of course, just go to LinkedIn and start a profile, and that will also start getting your name. It's amazing how fast you start building up a presence just by doing a couple of things in even just one day.
I hate to stop this conversation, but we have already gone over by a couple of minutes, and I want to make sure that I give Barbara, Christina, and myself time to share our contact information. Just before we do that, just want to thank Hillary and thank you, Lori, so much for sharing your expertise and your time this evening. I've learned so much myself, and I've been getting a lot of questions that have been coming in online, and if it's okay with you, I'm going to try to summarize them and pass them along to you all to see if you can answer some too.
Right.
Barbara, do you want to go ahead and start with giving your contact information?
Sure, absolutely. It's B. McKeon, B-M-C-K-E-O-N, at msnyc.org. My number is 212-453-3218.
Great. And Christina?
Yes, my email is Christina, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, dot Forster, F-O-R-S-T-E-R, at nmss.org. And the phone number is 215-271-1500.
Great. And my contact information is steve.nissen. It's N as in Nancy, I-S-S-E-N, at nmss.org. And phone number is 202-296-5363. Like I mentioned, I know that there were a couple questions from people who did not get this copy of the slides. Feel free to send an email to me, and then I will make sure that you get sent them, and then I can also follow up with your local chapter to make sure that if you have signed up for some of the additional calls in the call series, to make sure that they send those to you well in advance of the call. I will use that as a plug also. Don't forget, this is just the first call in this six-part series. We will now be having calls every 2 weeks through March the 22nd, covering topics from legal protections to managing challenging resumes, work at home. Feel free to give us a call back, call your chapter, call us at the toll-free number 1-800-344-4867. And if you have not yet signed up for some of those other calls, we will be more than happy to sign you up for them. Again, Lori, Hillary, thank you so much this evening. And if everybody could stay on the line for just a couple minutes, we do have just those six quick polling question calls. I'm sorry, polling questions to ask you. Have a good evening.
Yes. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
One moment as we prepare our questions. For our first question, ladies and gentlemen, please press 1 for yes or 2 for no. Are you currently working? Again, press 1 for yes or 2 for no. Polling is now closed for this question. Please hold as we prepare our next question. For our second question, please press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, or 4 for poor. How would you rate the speakers? Again, press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, or 4 for poor. Again, how would you rate the speakers? Polling is now closed for this question. Please hold as we prepare our next question. For our third question, ladies and gentlemen, please press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, or 4 for poor. How would you rate the content of the program? Press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, or 4 for poor. Again, how would you rate the content of the program?
Yeah.
Polling polling is now closed for this question. Please hold as we prepare our next question. For our next question, ladies and gentlemen, please press 1 for agree, 2 for agree somewhat, or 3 for disagree. As a result of this teleconference, I learned of new websites to use when conducting an online job search. Again, press 1 for agree, 2 for agree somewhat, or 3 for disagree. As a result of this teleconference, I learned of new websites to use when conducting an online job search. Polling is now closed for this question. Please hold as we prepare our next question. For our next question, again, press 1 for agree, 2 for agree somewhat, or 3 for disagree. As a result of this teleconference, I gained clarification into ways to approach an online job search. Again, press 1 for agree, 2 for agree somewhat, or 3 for disagree. As a result of this teleconference, I gained clarification into ways to approach an online job search. Polling is now closed for this question. Please hold as we prepare our final question. Again, press 1 for agree, 2 for agree somewhat, or 3 for disagree. As a result of this teleconference, I became more familiar with how to incorporate social media websites like LinkedIn to expand my network when job searching. Again, press 1 for agree, 2 for agree somewhat, or 3 for disagree. As a result of this teleconference, I became more familiar with how to incorporate social media websites like LinkedIn to expand my network when job searching. Polling is now closed for this question. This concludes our polling session. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes your conference. You may all disconnect.